Personnel Committee to order. I had only one agenda item. Justice Lahosky reached out via our court secretariat to talk about a conflicting ordinance that we have involving our county attorney. And so with that being said, I'm going to, at this point in time, turn it over to him, and then we will proceed from there.
All right.
Thank you, sir, for letting me be on the agenda tonight for this. I've talked to Councilor Hogue more than once, more than twice, I believe, about these ordinances and kind of what we should do going forward and about his position and how he feels about it and what we should do about it. There's a lot going on there, I feel, and really having a resolution on these ordinances, it's a good time to bring that up, you know, and this is a good way to, I think, handle it. I think there's a lot of angles to look at in this discussion, but Councilor Hogue, do you have a good summation of what's going on here?
Gosh, yes. I am my favorite subject. I think I've heard H.G. Foster say that before, so I could talk a long time about me. I don't think you're really asking about me, so I will tell you the two ordinances you're talking about are Ordinance 8925, obviously passed. Gerald Ward signed off on it in 1989, September. And that was an ordinance that created an additional deputy prosecuting attorney that would also do civil attorney work in the 20th Judicial District Prosecuting Attorney's Office. Before 1989, we, like many counties, had a prosecuting attorney that would cover the county needs, however you define that. The prosecuting attorney was the county attorney for all purposes. And in 1989, we kind of grew to the point that we said, okay, we need somebody at least partially dedicated to civil attorney for Faulkner County. They did that at that time, and in Ordinance 8925, they said that that attorney would operate out of the office of the prosecuting attorney and shall be retained for the purpose of pursuing the collection of monies due the county and state. So it was a limited purpose at that time. And further, that attorney would be paid out of the monies that basically he collected. Very simple thing back then. Well, it grew over time, and I think maybe HG was in office as the prosecutor back then. After HG came Marcus, I believe, and then after Marcus came Cody and then Carol. Along we rocked, and at some point when Stephen Hawks was serving as the prosecuting attorney doing county attorney job, he just floated into, and I guess it was in 08, the quorum court passed an ordinance that says that that the office of this county civil attorney is hereby created pursuant to the authority granted by in accordance with ACA 1621-114. And lo and behold, Stephen Hawks was made the full-time county civil attorney, first one in Faulkner County. And this ordinance just tracked the statutory language about what that job would do. He was paid $100,000-something a year, and we've been rocking along ever since. I came into this when Stephen, I think it's public knowledge at this point, Stephen had some problems, went to rehab. I came in, sat in for him for a while. He came back, didn't want the job. Alan Dodson was hired. Alan Dodson acceded to the county judge, and I came back in to do county attorney work, and I've been doing it ever since. At this point, I have, for the past several months, honestly, been talking to quorum court members and Judge Baker about the fact that as much as anyone has a calling, my calling is not exactly to be a county civil attorney for Faulkner County. I have, after 5 years of doing this, I have multiple other opportunities that are coming up that are closer to the area of what I would say is my calling. And so I have talked to Judge Baker about a few different options, and I've talked to some quorum court members about a few different options. One would be to let me phase out and let another full-time county attorney phase in, at which point I could slowly hand over litigation and files and so forth to the new attorney, get them where they need to be, do some training, acclimate them to the job and to the litigation and to the files and so forth, and then I'm slowly fading out. That would be done over several months. Another idea is that I could go into private practice, have a private firm, and as a private firm, still have Faulkner County as a client and take care of Faulkner County's needs, but through the from the perspective of a private firm where I have associates who will do some of the smaller work, I'll do some of the bigger litigation work, and we can use an economy of scale to do some of this. The only option that, honestly, I would not choose to leave on the table, there is the option obviously, of handing the whole thing over to the prosecuting attorney again. Last time I talked to Ms. Cruz, I don't believe she was all that interested in that, but I don't want to speak for her. She may be interested in that. That's an option. The only option that I can absolutely say is off the table is me staying full-time employment here for past probably the beginning of next year. My time is limited here, and as opposed to just saying I resign and letting everybody let the chips fall where they may, I'm trying and have been trying for several months now to say let's work out an exit strategy, let's make this transition smooth, get it done in an effective way and an efficient way for the taxpayers. But if nothing much happens for the next several months, I will have very little choice but to say, okay, I'm out based on the other opportunities that are coming my way.
All right. Thank you.
That's the shortest I can make it.
Thank you. Chairman, Committee Chair, I don't have an answer for this. You know, I thought it was worth having a discussion. We touched on it a couple months ago, just barely brushed the surface on this. But I thought it, like I said, I thought it was time to bring it up when I saw that we weren't having a personnel committee. I just wanted to throw it out there and see if we could discuss it and to see which direction, because we've never, like I said, we've never fleshed this out in committee or anything to even talk about our options.
Okay.
So I'd be interested to hear maybe some of the opinions of other quorum court members. Or, of course, I don't think Ms. Cruz is here tonight, but it'd be interesting to hear her committee, her, you know, opinion as well on this, since it's a part of the equation with this old ordinance and everything.
I agree. Is there any discussion amongst the committee members?
Where's the conflict exactly? And I requested a copy of those ordinances and I never got them, so I'm not really sure what the problem is exactly. I understand his problem, but I don't understand.
Let me, if I may.
Yeah.
I don't know, Chair. What you've got is, and there is a conflict and there is not a conflict, depending on how you see it. This all started with me and Justice Lahosky when we were talking about codifying our ordinances and putting them out where the general public can see the ordinances. When he talked to me about that, I pointed out that we need to clean up these ordinances before we put them out there where the public will be confused by them. And this is an example. This is one of many examples, but this is an example. We have an ordinance on the books right now, which is 8925, that says the prosecuting attorney is hereby authorized to retain an additional deputy prosecuting civil attorney to be employed for the purposes and compensated as set out herein. The ordinance that was passed in 08 does not actually repeal this ordinance. Now, it supersedes this ordinance. Let me be clear. It supersedes this ordinance. This ordinance is dead in the water. But if we are talking about codifying all of our ordinances, which we have them codified, they're just not easily accessible to the public right now. If we're talking about codifying our ordinances and putting them out so that all these people and everybody on the, we don't have a camera, everybody and their mom can see them, then people are going to look at these two ordinances and they will see a conflict, because this one says one thing and this one says a completely different thing. This one supersedes this one. But to the regular eye, this one and this one conflict, and we need to repeal this one. Simply stated, this one, the latter one, should have a repealer clause in it. That's what you do when you
enact an ordinance. You repeal anything that conflicts with it. But we didn't do that in 08. And so at this point, the simplest thing you guys could possibly do, and like I said, this isn't for the effective, the practical, because this one supersedes this one. But for the public to look at it, you're going to put this out there and they're going to say, which one is right? For cleanliness, we need to clearly repeal the old one, the ineffective one that's been superseded. That's the point. And yeah, they conflict because this one says we're doing it one way and this one says we're doing it the other way.
So is this about codification and cleanliness of our ordinances, or is this about his position?
I'd say a little bit of both. Like I said, that's where it started, and then it kind of ventured into this bigger conversation of his position and how David Hogue feels and what we need to do. You know, like I said, do we just repeal the old ordinance and let him go about his way? And I guess, David, if you like you said, resign next month, the county judge fills your position. Is that how the hiring
yes.
works? Okay,
yes.
The county judge would just choose a new county attorney, and
that's right.
We'd go on about it.
Correct.
And they have to scramble around.
That's
and
all there
around.
Is to it. The efforts that I've been making to send letters to you guys and talk to the county judge and so forth is, quite frankly, whether you see it that way or not, some people do, some people don't. It's a matter of me attempting to respect the county and the county government to give something more than a two-week notice and say, I have a big job, I have a very large job, it's very complicated. I would rather transition something than for me to give a two-week notice and walk away and just say, you know, good luck to you guys. I don't want to do that. But if we don't transition, then that's what I'm left to do.
Mr. Chair?
Justice Higgins, go ahead.
So a couple of questions that I would have then, and I would agree the simple thing is we just need to repeal the old ordinance. That's a simple matter. But as I look at Councillor Hogue's situation, is it based on the new ordinance that I don't have before me here, based on are the most current ordinance, would it be pretty much the purview of the county judge whether he replace you or whether we subcontract out to you? What other than price difference, does the Quorum Court actually have any input into that?
Okay, first of all, yes, there would be a price difference. So let me address both of those points. The Quorum Court, if you want to take the simple path, you can say, let's repeal 8925, which is superseded, but it's not repealed. So let's repeal 8925, and let's keep 0827, and call it done. Now, at that point, I'm the county civil attorney under 0827, and I give Judge Baker the news on September 1st that I'm going to leave October 1st, which is 1 month, and he would begin the process of looking for somebody else. It's just that easy. Now, if you, because this is a line item for personnel for a full-time position and another full-time position in the budget area, his only thing that he could do would be to hire someone in my position, and it's just that simple.
So as the executive branch, if the offer was to be made to subcontract out
right.
the county civil attorney,
right.
would that not still be at his purview?
And then
let's just hypothetically say that replacing you cost $100,000 and subcontracting out cost $125,000, then I'm sure at some point he would have to come to and say, I would prefer as the executive branch to go with the subcontract, and
yeah.
I need an extra $25,000.
Right.
The court then could decide whether to appropriate that $25,000 or not.
Right, absolutely.
But as far as the Quorum Court making anything other than a worthless resolution saying that we would like to subcontract out, it's really executive branch decision.
Mostly, yes. The only thing that you guys could do if you wanted to, and I'm not suggesting this because it's about how you and the judge want to play things. The only other thing that you could do would be to... If he agreed, I want to subcontract out and I don't want to keep the full-time position, the Quorum Court could go ahead and instead of making this two personnel spots in the budget and having this full-time civil attorney position, the Quorum Court could put that money into contract services, and then he would be in charge of contracting that out as a subcontractor. So the Quorum Court would play into it because you're the people who have to move the money around to do it. he's not going to subcontract out that job if he has this in place, and he's not going to hire this if he has the line item for subcontracting.
So what you're saying then is then that ordinance doesn't really give him any room to subcontract it out.
Right.
So if... All right, so
if he decided he wanted to subcontract it out,
so I'm trying to figure out how the Quorum Court can move forward on this if we so choose. So I go back to last month, and I know our county collector came to us. The collector came to us about additional headcount, and she worked up a plan and all that kind of stuff and everything. And the Quorum Court ultimately rejected that plan. It's not the court's business at that point to go to the collector's office, singular or collectively, and say, you know what, we didn't like your plan, but let's help you with another plan.
Right.
So I'm trying to relay that into dealing with the county judge's issue, is that if the judge came to us and said, we have some options here, and what do you guys think about it, then that's different. So I'm just trying to question how appropriate it is for us to go to the judge and say, you know, we want you to do this differently. Or not. I'm concerned about the legislative branch dictating to the executive branch.
I agree with that.
I think the executive branch probably needs to come up with options to the court, and if there's funding issues, that's what we do, is appropriate funds, right. But we don't dictate to the executive branch any more than we did to the collector's office last month. So I'm just making sure that we're on the tracks to do what's appropriate for this, because if we're talking about subcontracting and then the judge hires another lawyer, that's his purview.
Right.
Sure. Okay.
Justice Higgins, I appreciate your comment, and I somewhat agree with you, but I would maybe throw out just a little bit of a differing view there. So I think that based on what Justice Pickett told us, and I was late getting here, but based on what Justice Pickett told us, everyone in this room is aware that we don't have money to throw around. There are elected officials in here who have done a fantastic job of saving the county money. There are those that are working on a shoestring budget. And then there are those that sometimes spend money, really, that they shouldn't spend. This court told an elected official last month that she couldn't have a position that really... There was no extra money that was going to come out of the general revenue, if I understand correctly. It was going to be pretty much funded from her automation fund.
Right.
Fast forward to a month later, I'm assuming the judge allowed it, or maybe the county attorney just did it on his own, I'm not sure. We go out, and I'm sympathetic to what you're wanting to do, I get it, but we go out and we contract labor another county attorney. A deputy county attorney, I guess, is what we're calling it.
No.
What are we calling it?
It's a contract. It's a contract later. It's not a deputy county attorney.
Okay, but it is money that's coming out.
I've hired lots of attorneys through the years.
And so I guess my point is yes, while it is the judge's purview based on the budget that we currently have, my question would be, and I know Counselor Hogue said that he talked to the prosecutor and it wasn't something that maybe she was interested in. But my question would be, would it be better suited to move the entire budget over to the prosecutor and let attorneys supervise attorneys, let the county judge supervise road folks and building folks and the things that fall under his purview? I don't disagree with the point you're making there at all, but I also think that it's the court's purview to maybe move where that budget line item is currently, so that maybe we get better management there than what we have out of that today. Just a thought. Justice Kendall.
Mr. Chair, I guess just kind of elaborate on what you were talking about there, so y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, but basically I see that we have three options from a court perspective. We can either appropriate money for a subcontract if that was the route that the judge wanted to go. We could leave it as is under the county judge's office, or we could shift the funding to the prosecutor. Am I understanding that correctly?
Sounds right.
I think that's what Counselor Hope said earlier, yes. Okay.
And then also, I think it was hit on earlier, but if the judge did contract that out and we went the subcontracting route to appropriate that, he can do that with anybody. It doesn't have to be David Hope.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Any other discussion? Yes, ma'am.
So let's just say, play the what-if game. What if you walk out tomorrow? So the judge has to talk to somebody. Who, in the meantime, that takes time. Who has the knowledge other than the prosecuting attorney and their team of lawyers to hire someone that is well qualified for the position. Not down in Judge Baker's opinions or anything like that, but do you understand what I'm saying? He can't operate all the legalities that you do currently. So who would step in that position? Say it takes 6 months. We need a lawyer during that 6 months. Who we would be forced to subcontract it out, correct? Or we would be forced to hand it over to the prosecuting attorney so that they can fulfill those duties.
That would be the two options.
If I died, let's say it that way. If I died, because that's I'm sick, I've got a bronchial infection. So let's say that I die today, right now. Carol Cruz would be the county attorney. Because there's no one in my position and there is always a county attorney, she would be the county attorney because there's no one here.
So how did we get from 8925 it being under the prosecuting attorney to the 2008?
At some point,
being under the judge.
Yeah, at some point, and this is just the way the statutory language sets it up, the prosecutor is the county attorney until a county grows to the point where they see that it needs that the county needs its own full-time civil attorney. When they see that it needs its own full-time civil attorney, the CEO of the county is in charge of hiring that full-time county attorney, and that's me, or that's me right now. It's kind of the same system as Exxon. Any corporation you pick, you generally are going to have somebody that's at the top of that may or may not be an attorney, and they're going to hire an attorney. Just like if somebody wants a divorce, if you want a divorce and you need an attorney, you're an attorney. You're going to hire someone who's an attorney, even though you're not an attorney yourself. That's how kind of how that system works. Non-attorneys hire attorneys.
Question.
Justice Stevens, right in front of you. I apologize. What came to you next, Justice?
So to respond to Justice, to your question, a couple of things. We actually had that happen once before. So when Stephen Hawks resigned, we did have a gap in there, mm-hmm. and Judge Scroggins hired you
right.
to come in and fill the gap. He did an adequate job. You know, I mean, he came in off the street, didn't know what was going on, and he filled our needs for a few months until Alan was hired. Alan Dodson was hired.
And so, I was part of the team that hired Alan, actually.
That's right. So we had a process that fell in place when we did that. As far as, what was your question you had? Because I was going...
how did you get from the PA to the...
Oh, yes, how we got there. So part of the complaints that I have heard in the past, and I remember talking with some of the other justices that are no longer on the court here, thing, was that when they were working for the prosecuting attorney, they had part-time help, and that many times it was a different attorney each time. It was who was available. So they may have a project that they would bring in a deputy prosecutor to help them with, and then the next project it would come in would be a different prosecutor, deputy prosecutor, and then the next time it might be based on their caseload. And there was not necessarily a dedicated prosecuting attorney, deputy prosecuting attorney working for the court until Stephen Hawks was hired, and he was a deputy prosecutor and was dedicated to the court.
Right.
Once they did that and saw that the dedicated prosecuting attorney was beneficial to the court, that's when the new ordinance came in. They said, we want one full-time. I mean, we like to have this one guy instead of a bunch of different guys, so we want one guy full-time. That's how it evolved into that.
And I can understand that 100%, but also I'm thinking just financially in the back of my mind, if it was some subcontracted out, whether it be David Hogue and his assistant, because it would include your assistant, I mean, she would also be striking from the payroll as well.
Yeah.
I'm assuming if it was contracted out. So I'm just looking at it both ways. There's upsides to both ways, I guess.
So I actually asked that question because I knew if we might go there. Because I asked David that question when I was talking with him about subcontracting. And I said, so here's the deal, David. I said, how is subcontracting any better than working with the prosecutor when maybe we've got different, not deputy prosecutors, but deputy hoax, whatever you're going to call them, little hoax. And we're dealing with them, who we hold accountable? And the answer was, correctly,
yeah.
So still there's a level of accountability at that level. So whether it works or not is something to consider, but I like that idea.
Justice Pierce.
Counselor, can you help me understand that you know, if we repealed 8925, the old ordinance, can you help me understand the difference between that and then the state statute? So if you died, is it per state statute that the prosecutor's office would become the de facto county attorney?
the prosecutor's office is the county attorney unless you have another county, unless you have a full-time civil attorney.
Now, is that per state statute?
Yes.
Okay. So even if we repealed that old ordinance, which I haven't read the language of the ordinance, so I don't know everything that it says, isn't it still the same?
It would take the conflict out between 8925 and 1620 or 827, which mirrors 1621-1414.
Well,
and the conflict is what he explained. I'm not an attorney. I don't really see that there's a conflict. He does. Mm-hmm. Because, again, with any ordinance, the newer ordinance is going to be the one that we refer to.
And that's why, two things. Number one, that's why I'm saying it's a perceived conflict. It's not a true conflict because the one supersedes the other. But it is a perceived conflict. And when we talk about, when anybody says, okay, Mr. Hogue, let's start taking all of these ordinances and putting them out for the general public to see, I want them to make sense to the general public and not be a big laundry tub of stuff that doesn't make any sense. So I would say we need to clearly repeal this and not put it out to the general public. Secondly, the situation created by Ordinance 8925 is not the all-inclusive county attorney that the state statutes statute contemplates. It's one that is retained for the purpose of pursuing the collection of monies due the county and state, which is very limited and leaves the county without an attorney for lots of other things. Like this wouldn't, I defended Faulkner County and took part in the state defense of same-sex marriage sometime back. Under this 8925, county attorney wouldn't have done that. You would have gone to AAC.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Crystal.
I just wanted to, I'm sure that y'all probably all are aware of this, but I think there was an ordinance sometime either last year or beginning of this year where you were contracting out services to another city, I believe, and
Mayflower,
part of the assistant salary. So that's something that probably
could go away.
Needs to be
if he goes away.
Yeah. If he goes away, yeah. We don't know if that next person would do the same. So.
Yeah. So I think if there's no other discussion, I'm going to close with a couple of things per this committee's approval, and I'll just ask for a voice approval. One, I do think that this is something that we maybe need to explore with a little more urgency than what I originally thought, because while you and I have had some conversations about your desire to do something different and maybe subcontract, I don't think I've ever heard you put it as clearly as you have tonight where you're moving on.
Time moves forward.
Time moves forward. And so I don't think you gave us a date tonight,
I am specifically avoiding giving a date.
I understand. But I think you did say something about the end of the year being a drop-dead date potentially.
Yeah.
So my pastor did that earlier this year. He told us he was leaving by the end of the year, and two Sundays from now is his last day. So, I don't want to get caught off guard with an attorney like maybe we have at First Baptist without a pastor. I think that does give us a cause to maybe pursue this a little more. So with that, I do think that I will reach out to the judge with this committee's approval and get his thoughts, but also reach out to the prosecutor and get her thoughts both. I do want to correct one thing that you said, though, David. Just because we're a large county does not mean that we have to have a dedicated civil attorney. For instance, in Sebastian County, they're a Class 6 county also, and Dan Hsu, who is the prosecutor up there, I know that they handle, I don't know what district that is, but I know that they handle the affairs for, that's not Crawford County, what is that?
Fort Smith.
Fort Smith is what county?
Sebastian
County, thank you very much. Van Buren's Crawford County. And I also know that our elected prosecutor handles county duties, county civil attorney duties for Van Buren and Searcy County. She has a deputy that handles Searcy County. She herself handles Van Buren County. So there is some expertise that she's gained over her time of being in office. So with this committee's approval, I will, between now and our next time that we're together, and again, I think he's given me a sense of urgency that I didn't know that we had. But between maybe even now and next Tuesday, Ms. Margaret, I might ask for a special meeting before the full court meeting next week. But if this committee doesn't mind, I'll reach out to those two and kind of get their thoughts on what will happen going forward if Counselor Hogue was to die of bronchitis tonight. Yes. That okay with this committee?
Mr. Chair, as to the sense of urgency, let me give you one more point.
Yes.
What's happening in my world is, I explain what's happening on the county side. On the private side, what's happening in my world is that I have, I'm trying to figure out in my head right now how to make this as brief as possible, but I'll make it just a few sentences. When I started practicing law, I was very interested in how to put missionary work together with law. Missionary work together with law. Everybody I talked to laughed at me and said, that is impossible. You can put medical work together with law, but not missionary work together with law. That's missions and Satan, and that doesn't work together. And so just in the past several months, I have actually been coming in contact with people in Ethiopia, Nigeria, Austria, and D.C., and Missouri, and the Northwest United States, who are giving me opportunities to put those two things together.
For you.
And so if one of those, right now everything is just, we're passing emails back and forth. I've got people in every one of those spots saying, yes, we are interested in working with you. Let's figure out how the money might work. Now, if somebody contacts me tonight and says, we've got money for you and this is how it's going to work, I'm going to look at the county and say, I've been warning you guys about this for several months, and here we are. I'm not going to pass up the opportunity to do what I wanted to do when I got out of law school. So that's the sense of urgency. I'm trying everything I can not to just drop the county. I don't want to drop the county. I like serving the county. I need the income from the county as long as I don't have other income. But if something happens, then I'm not going to miss the opportunity.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other business before this committee? In that case, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Adjourn.
Thank you.